Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just chase success, we ask if it's actually working. Because the truth is, you could have the career, you can have the titles, you can have the life that looks right on the outside and still feel off on the inside, still feel disconnected, still feel like something's missing. And that's the part that nobody talks about because success without that alignment, it's going to catch up to you. And God didn't just call you to achieve. He calls you to become, to live in truth, to live in purpose, and to actually feel your life. So if you've ever had everything look right but feel wrong, this conversation is going to speak right to your soul. Today's guest is Chandra Lynn, a woman who walked away from external success to figure out what actually matters internally. Chandra, thank you so much for your time for coming in the hot seat today. I launch everybody from the same place. Give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? What makes you special, darling?
Well, it's so great to be here. And I am so glad to be able to be on a podcast that's aligned to my message, which is really about how to help people love life, even though it's messy, it's hard, it's uncertain. And I built an actual framework that's very practical to help people do that. Now, I actually have a long history as a marketing consultant, and that's what she was referring to around me, segueing into something with even more depth and value, which is I became a certified transformation coach through the Robbins Madonis Institute, and I built my own framework called Root to Rise. I have a book and a workbook, and that's what I'm here to do, to serve this audience in the best way possible through this podcast.
I love that. You worked with major brands. So, a lot of people, I just tell us what success looked like from the outside at that point, at that time in your life.
For sure. And I mean, in full transparency, I still do work with brands. I think that I am building Root to Rise and my platform Glow Living Up. And while I'm doing that, I'm still bringing, I'm just trying to, I'm basically pivoting. So I once was just known for marketing, and I worked in the music industry. I've worked with other brands like Apple and Mercedes and Tyra Banks and the Wine Group and all these amazing sectors. And it was all on integrated marketing. Now I'm able to do, professional coaching, a lot of executive coaching, helping, with team leadership, burnout, like all that kind of stuff, because I feel like, I can reach a lot more people that way. And that's why I've continued to do it. But through my books and my courses and my online membership, I'm working with individuals, a lot of women in midlife transitions, feeling exactly the way that you spoke to in the beginning about, success metrics being that I'm working with great brands by, making money. I own my own home in the Bay Area. I have a kid. He's now at UCLA. He's doing well, like all these kind of things. And to feel like it's not so much about things, it's not about the check boxes as much as the deep internal fulfillment. And that's why I've pivoted to really having a priority around helping people, through my life experience, my wisdom, my training, to get people, to feel supported and to know that there is hope, despite how crazy this world is right now, to help themselves.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, the thing that makes us great in that coaching space is that relatability. And so there has to be some moment in your life. Like, what was that moment in your life, maybe, where you realized, like, I'm unfulfilled and kind of what it felt like in the inside? I guess to feel like just something isn't right. Did you have a breaking point? What was the moment where you were just like, okay, this is all great, but like, I feel like there's more.
Well, I have an internal voice that's been with me since I was a little kid, because I was raised by two therapists. I mean, my grandparents were both therapists, and they wanted me to take over their practice, and they always wanted me to go into psychology. But I was an overachiever type of person. I got an MBA when I was, 24 years old. I was already working in major market radio in San Francisco. I started my own agency. I was just doing all these things, right? And I didn't see the amount of time it was going to take to become a therapist, the 3,000 hours plus, and all of that. And I was so young. I was like, who's going to want a therapist who's 24 years old? So I went into marketing, which is very relationship oriented, you know, and also was exciting, and especially being in the music industry, you know, I was doing concert promotion for Bill Graham Presents. I was doing all kinds of things that are just, you know, amazing, and I love the fact that I've had that experience. I think the moment that I started to think I've really got to listen to my roots of being, you know, more aligned to personal growth and development and psychology and things like that came in midlife when, like you said, you know, looked on paper like I had all figured out. I'd been in a relationship for 21 years. I had a son who was doing really well, you know, thriving in his own right. I had paid off my house. I had paid off a car. I, you know, like I just had a great community and whatnot, but I don't know. Something felt like it was missing. And I think it was that calling to do more to help people around me, more than just, oh, I'm helping them with marketing stuff.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to help them with changing their life. You know, my grandmother had a suicide crisis intervention phone line coming into this house where I live now. And I just thought, God, that is just such amazing work to save lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm here to help people help themselves save their own life, you know, is a little different, but it would became a calling that I couldn't ignore.
Yeah. Why do you think that? Because this is a very common conversation on the
Yeah.
show, where I have a lot of high achievers come through here and they talk about that feeling of like, I was just very unfulfilled. In fact, even the ones that I've worked with personally, they're the most depressed, some of the most depressed women I've ever met. And when I first started, I'm like, oh my God, you have everything I've ever wanted. I don't understand. And we start having the conversations and everything makes sense. Why do you think that so many of our high achievers are just walking around unfulfilled?
It may be because somewhere along the way they were achieving down a path that was not in full authenticity to who they were becoming. It may have even been something that made sense for them in their earlier years. And as they have grown, and you know, being in midlife, I'm about to be 56 years old. So it's something that just happens to you where you go, wow, what I thought I wanted or what I've already achieved was great for my past version of myself, but for what I want to become, what I want to be known for, what I want my legacy to be, is something that it may have a deeper level of meaning. It's I think what we're really talking about here is a soul's journey. You know, it's like, what are you here to do? It becomes less about the doing and achieving and more about the impact.
What do you think separates people from, the people who are understanding the impact versus, we've got people our age, your age, old, 67, 77, and they've never thought about that impact. Like, why do you think it just comes to some people and some people are just like, ignorance is bliss?
Yeah, I think that there's that's a loaded question because I think for me, my book is based on understanding our human need psychology, and I think that people are meeting their needs on different levels. So somebody who maybe not, you know, as concerned about leaving an impact may still be, and for potentially really great reasons, working on needs such as security, such as growth, you know, they're wanting to, you know, could be around intimacy and building community, but they don't necessarily, you know, they haven't necessarily fulfilled those on a level where they're not just focusing on their own needs. They might even be really in the throes of the demands of meeting other people's needs, like their children and the family unit. And it's very difficult to start to think beyond that when you're overwhelmed. So I think when your needs start to get met and your immediate community is doing well, you can start to think about transcending those needs and looking at serving a larger purpose and being able to impact beyond, you know, yourself and your day-to-day life. So I think that that has something to do with it, is needs fulfillment and where you are in that.
Let's talk a little bit about that needs fulfillment, because what happens when you have a big need going unmet, like an emotional need isn't being met? What is happening?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different reasons for that. One might be that they're not listening to the messages that are coming up. They're not e either it could be a self-worth issue, like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy. Those are very two common underlying limiting beliefs. And so we may not serve our own needs at a higher healthy level because we don't necessarily think we're worth it, or we're not giving ourselves permission for some reason. And sometimes we're just very busy focused on meeting other people's needs and justifying it that way. And so, yeah, I think that's one thing that's really common, that it could just be around needing to build self-confidence and knowing that your needs have value, and that also that those needs get louder and louder over time. So if you don't, address them, they don't just go away. So at what point are you willing to stop and do the work? I can tell you from having a personal growth and development system and a book and everything and an online course and all of that, not everybody is willing to do this deeper level of work, and it means that you have to have intimacy with yourself, vulnerability with yourself, be honest with yourself. And some people are just more in an avoidant place. They're just not willing to do that because they're worried about, any potentially pain that's involved around, their own self-confidence, the way that they were raised, their parenting, the parents, the caregivers they had, and what beliefs that were instilled in them, and things like that. It's a very layered conversation
Of
there.
course. Well, the people that are willing to step up and do the work, what do you think is the hardest part of actually doing the inner work?
I think that it's understanding that the fears that they may have prevented them from doing it aren't as bad as they think they are. Like, what is worst case scenario here, and being willing to step through that transformational fire, that becoming that phoenix, right? You do have to go through some change. And sometimes people that have a really high need for security have a very difficult time with change, so it's almost better to stay in the thing that the devil they know, than go to what they don't. And there's fear-based, things are associated with change and transformation and facing truths. And sometimes it means that they have to let go of certain either past identities are very difficult to let go of, or past relationships that have been disempowering. And that's really hard to do. I have had clients who have had to basically put boundaries and even cut off their own parents from communicating because of the toxicity from, primary relationships, having to break up and go through pain. Sometimes they don't want to do it because there's children involved. There's so many reasons, and I respect them all, and I still invite them to do the work because I know what it looks like on the other side. I've seen so much progress and so much success going through, my book. And if it's not my book, there's other tools out there. It has to be what resonates with you. But what comes on the other side is actually a beautiful thing not to be feared. And that's difficult for some people to accept.
Where do you see when you're working with people? Where do you see people that kind of fool themselves into thinking that they're growing, but they're not?
Fool themselves. Yeah, I think that has to do with, how much they're doing. We're back to the checklist again. Oh, I took a seminar. I read a book. And that is something that you can totally do. And one of the reasons I created a workbook to go along with my book is because a lot of people can skim or read through the book and not really apply it to their life. Actually, the back of the workbook says, reading about change is one thing, living it is another. We have to apply the work to ourselves. And I think that that's where the disconnect comes in. They could be pointing to lots of things they're doing for their growth, for their personal growth, but are they really connecting it in a deep enough, meaningful way to have aha moments and to identify those pain points and solve those to the degree that anything changes?
I love that. What is, through your own personal journey, your own experience of working through this, what is something that you had to get brutally honest with yourself about?
I think partially it was my need for security. In the first chapter of my book, I talk about my story, and there was some scarcity. There were some things that a lot of us experience. I have heard it's very relatable. And I think that because of it, though, I needed security. And so There were things that I limited my own growth because I took the safe route. And I think there's just became a point in midlife where I had built enough self-confidence to be able to stretch beyond my comfort zone and know that I had the safety net built up from, being able to kind of have my own back and have a community there for me and, and takes the those scary steps. And then realizing, just how much that is something that people aspire to do and can really admire, and how through just that act of doing it can be inspirational for others. And that's what true leadership is. And so that motivated me to get unstuck from that feeling. And whenever it does come up, because with the needs, they all come up over, you don't just get to solve it and then it's done forever. Sometimes it comes up in different ways. Then whenever I have to remind myself and reassure myself and that part of myself that is worried, that I've done hard things before and been okay.
I love that. And that is the thing. That's the reality, right? Like you can do hard things and you're gonna survive. Something that I can't speak to on my audience because unfortunately I take the hard way through everything. Rebuilding my life meant I just always burn shit down. I burn it all down. And what I've recognized in what you've said since the beginning is that you didn't, you just reshaped your identity and became something more in that same space you were in. So, how do you, my audience needs you today. How do you rebuild your life without, marking Brandon's name across it with a gasoline and a
Well, I
lighter?
mean, how brave of you to burn shit
Yeah,
down.
that's
Like,
true.
that's pretty awesome in a weird, like, crazy transformational
Brave,
way. You
stupid,
know,
brave,
maybe,
stupid. I don't
well,
know.
maybe, and maybe it didn't need to be as extreme, but maybe you did need to go through that enough to know where your edge is. So knowing our edge is really important, and they even teach that in yoga. When you do something and then you start to fall over, it's like, that's okay. Now you know where your edge is. So I think burning shit down, it shows that maybe that security route wasn't, I mean, need wasn't the one that was driving you. Maybe it was, the need for a little uncertainty, because in a lot of ways, as much as we need certainty, we also need uncertainty. That's where the excitement and the juice and the just the variety comes in. And so you might have a higher need for that than the other. So I think this is why knowing your needs is so damn important, is you really know where you what you need in order to go through that transformation.
I love that. So, just so you know, you guys, it is possible not to burn stuff down. That was my come to Jesus moment. Like literally that was it. That was how I was going to hear whatever his calling was on my life, whatever God had me doing. I had to burn it all down, but it is very possible. Chandra's showing us it's very possible if you could just figure out what your boundary is, what your cliff is. What does alignment actually feel like? Because that word is so, it's very overused lately. Everybody talks about alignment. So tell us what that actually just feels like in real life.
Okay, let me clarify one thing. So there's two things. One alignment is around aligning your needs to your different life root areas. Okay, so that's a big part of what I teach, is how are we meeting our needs in these different areas of our life? Like, how are we meeting the needs of our careers, our relationships, our health, our friends? We have different needs that come up in different ways with all those. And when we're aware of them and we're finding strategies for meeting them in healthy ways, then we can start to align to our needs in a balanced way. So if something is out of balance, then we can do that. Now, you may also be talking about aligning to what's true to you and not be following the shoulds in life. Like, oh, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you should be an accountant. And more like, well, what if I want to be a musician, an artist, a, only fan, like whatever, that's calling to you. And so which side would you like me to speak on?
I say let's go for like your heart and brain coherence, alignment as in are you waking up and doing the thing that you're called to do?
Yeah, so like I said before, there may be some updates that you need to make into what that is, because you may have started with ideas for your life that look like by now, or maybe it's not as fulfilling as you thought it was, or maybe somebody else painted a picture of it as being a solution when you were too young to know better. And you have to just update that for yourself. Now you're an adult with a history, with backstory, with discernment. And so you can decide whether that's working for you or not. If there's a voice in you that's saying, it's not working. When I'm being really honest with myself, it's not working. Then I invite you to ask yourself three key life questions. The first one is, what is it that you actually want? And some people can answer that really easily. Oh, I want, to write a book. I'm just, whatever. Why you want it is the second question. So if you do know what you want, then you have to get to the next level deeper. Why do you want that? But if you don't know what you want, then that you're stuck on step one, right? You have to do that internal exploration of what are the different possibilities for yourself? The second why, when you do land on what you want, is it related to a need? So, for example, do I want to write a book because I want to be seen as an authority, feel significant, to have people, be proud of me? Like, that's a need for significance. Or is it a need to transcend my own needs and help other people, which is what I'm doing with my book? Or is it a need for growth that in researching and building skills and having something to offer, it's the process of getting there. I'm experiencing growth in doing it, and that's what I'm craving. I'm hungry for to learn, and I want to end it in something of value like a book, but it's really the process of growing that I value, Or is it that I just want to be doing, like, I want to go travel, Well, why? Because I want the variety. I want the excitement. I want to learn new things out on the road. That's like the variety need. So I think that the answer to the why could be, what do you think it's going to bring you in terms of how it serves your needs? The third question I'll leave you with is, okay, now you know what you want and why you want it. What are you willing to do about it? Willingness is something where a lot of people get stuck. Okay, are you willing to go back to school? Are you willing to, give up your current identity doing another job? Are you willing to ask for help? Are you willing to put yourself out in front and try something new? Are you willing to burn something else down? Like, you have to ask, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to spend money on it? I had an issue where I launched Glow Living and I wanted this organic community to, grow over time. And there was a point where I realized a lot of it's pay to play to get the exposure to build the community and find the audience. Was I willing to put money into, that goal? Same with the book. You write a book, it doesn't magically fly off the shelves. So am I willing to spend money to promote my book, even if it means that I take a loss at first, So willingness is really, really important. So I hope I answered your question, but
You
even though
did.
I'm asking three new questions.
No, I think that's great. And I mean, you probably just already started your Root to Rise framework. So let's talk about your book and let's talk about the workbook.
I mean, we've been talking about it because this is what you
This is
get
it.
into
This
when you
is the
do
meat and
it.
potatoes.
There's three phases. The first phase is learning these five different areas of your life that I call your life root system: your health, your career, your friends, your family, and your relationship. And if you're not in a romantic relationship, then you look at the relationship you have to yourself. Okay, so those are the first thing you do is learn that, and then you learn how these six human needs that are adapted from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and how you've been meeting the needs in those five areas. So there's needs assessment worksheets and things like that. You're going to basically put it on a scale, like, oh, my health route, I've been meeting the needs of security at a level five. Okay, I'm doing okay. It's not great, it's not bad. I'm not in enough pain to do anything about it, but I'm not thriving. Okay, so let's look at that. How do we get to an 8, 9, 10 level? So those are the kind of things that you do in the first phase. The second phase is emotional resilience. So there's a lot of shit going on in the world today. It's very challenging. And how do we weather those storms? Now, everything in the book is nature-based wisdom. It's a lot of metaphors around nature, like, crashing waves is grief and loss. The storms of life are the transitions that we go through, and things like that. So I describe that through the book. And I propose some coaching tools, including something called the triad, where that is all it's completely built for learning how to manage your emotions during difficult times. And then the final step is the rise. So the rise phase is looking at this whole thing we've been talking about, is what is authentic to you? What does that mean to connect with your own authenticity? What do you have to let go of in order for that to happen? What do you actually have to invite in and invest in to make that happen? What do you want to be known for? What are you giving back? And that gets into legacy conversation. It gets into being, having a purpose, and it gets into the idea that when we're progressing on a purpose, it brings joy. And joy is really the key thing that we need to experience to feel fulfilled.
I love that very much. Is where can people find your book? How can they get resourced with you?
So the book is available pretty much everywhere. I sell it direct on Etsy because I'm able to personalize it. I can put my award stickers on it. I can emboss it. I can put their name and my name in it. I can put in a letter, a bookmark, and I can also do discount promotion. So I can offer my books at 25% off on glowliving.etsy.com using Rise 25, RISE 25. And then people can buy it on Amazon. And I always ask for reviews on Amazon because the algorithm needs it to be able to serve it up to people in need. And so those are really the two easy ways to learn to grab the book.
Perfect. Chandra, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you're successful, it's that you're honest and that you're willing to look at your own life and admit that something wasn't working, even when everything said it should be. You didn't burn it down, you didn't numb it, you didn't ignore it, you just did the work. And I think the fact that, you are loving your life and living your life no matter what, and turning around and sharing that with people so that they can get unstuck. You're helping people do the thing, not just look good on the outside, but you're helping them feel aligned on the inside. And I think that's incredibly rare. We need more people like you who are willing to steward the message and to go through the real work when it's not fun, when it's not sexy, when it's brutal and honest. So we can be the people that can help other people through this. I think that's what makes you special. Everyone listening, you can't outachieve misalignment. You can't outthink it either. At some point, you have to get radically honest with yourself. God did not create you to build a life that looks good and feels empty. And if you need permission, this is it. You're allowed to want more. You're allowed to feel more. You're allowed to actually live your life. Okay? But it's going to come down to being honest and being aware. And please remember, you guys, I love you so much, but your mess, that thing, that's your message. Even the confusion, even the seasons when things didn't feel right, even the version of you that looked successful but felt completely lost, that is where your voice is built. And if you've been feeling that pull to say something, to share something, to actually use your story in a way that matters, please pay attention to that. That is not random. And if this episode is speaking to you, do the very unselfish thing and share this out, okay? Share it with someone who needs it, because Chandra can't reach that person that you know, and neither can I. Okay, again, just like with leaving the review after you get her book, same thing with this episode, right? Leave the review, that way it goes up in the algorithm, and stars are super cute. I love them, but like that's not enough. Just take a couple seconds, type it out. Definitely share the show though. Let's help get her message out there, Root to Rise. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, you know the deal. Come tell me why you're special. Chandra, thank you so much for this. You're amazing, and I know my audience just ate this up.
Thank you so much. And I am available anytime you guys want to continue the conversation.